In recent weeks, Pope Francis has attacked what he calls the cult of money. The head of the Catholic Church says the market economy has created a tyranny in which people are judged by their material consumption, and he said it again and again. But some Christians embrace a so-called prosperity gospel. They believe financial success is God's will. To make more money enables you to spend more money on good deeds and other things. Here's Pastor Michael Swaggerty delivering a recent sermon in the US.
Money is something you can use to do good. A reflection of your soul and your spiritual state. Good, I like that. The treasure and the heart go together.
Well, this tension between the Pope and the prosperity gospel will be explored by Andrew West today on the Religion and Ethics Report. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Where do you find the prosperity gospel?
You find it in places like the large mega church that the pastor whom you just played preaches at. Increasingly, though, in the United States, you find it in university courses. And we're not just talking here about those universities that were established by religious denominations. Even many of the divinity schools in the Ivy League universities, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, very establishment places, they now have an emphasis, if not explicitly on the prosperity gospel, then on business, on finance. And of course, you find the prosperity gospel at a very grassroots level in many of these large churches, where one night during the week or two nights during the week, small groups of the congregation will meet to discuss personal finance and debt. So the idea of money, whether it's reached the cult-like status that the Pope has warned about, but the idea of money is very central to a lot of the major religious denominations in the United States, but also here too.
And it's certainly not an evil. This connection between faith and material consumption in the US is physically
it has. It has. There are religious congregations that meet in shopping malls. And I'm not just talking about little small groups. There are large religious congregations that take over shopping malls, that meet in warehouse developments, and, you know, where they can pack hundreds of people in. There's a very physical resemblance between the shopping mall and the mega church. This has been a development of the last 20 years in the US.
Your guest on today's program looks at the way one particular retailer in the United States has fashioned itself as an explicitly Christian company.
Yes, very controversial retailer too. Dr. Bethany Morton has written a wonderful book called To Serve God and Walmart. Now, Walmart, of course, as I said, a very controversial retailer, the biggest in America, one of the biggest in the world. The Walmart has found itself a niche, as it were, as a Christian company. Not that it isn't a regular business, but what it says is that the work that our staff do, and they tend to work on very low wages, is an extension of this idea of servanthood. So all the attributes that a good service worker needs, patience, friendliness, all those attributes are an extension of this idea of servanthood, and that has helped Walmart in a marketing sense to resist a lot of the pressure of unions and a lot of the pressure from the grassroots. So, but it is very controversial.
It is exactly the model and the message in the TV show Big Love, isn't it, with the Mormons? They ran a whole chain of stores.
They did. And in the case of Walmart, though, they say to their employees who tend to be blue collar, this work that you're doing for low wages is an extension of your Christian duty. And by and large, it is a message that many people on their staff have accepted.
I bet it's not a message that every believer in the US is particularly fond of.
Not all, and certainly many religious leaders, not just on the left, but many religious leaders in the evangelical wing themselves have been saying, you know, look, Walmart really needs to pay living wages, it needs to extend health care. In fact, one of the critiques that has been made of Walmart fashioning itself as a Christian business is that it's used this idea of servanthood to really tamp down any truculence and rebelliousness on the part of the workforce, you know, a way of keeping out trade unions, for example.
It's such an obvious and interesting contrast with the messages coming from Pope Francis, really almost from the moment He became Pope.
Yes, I mean, very much an extension, his language, of what Pope Benedict had done in his major encyclical about work and about the need for greater financial regulation. But yes, this talk from Pope Francis, I think, intensifies that language coming out of the Vatican, you know, trying to tame capital. Anyway, Bethany Morton, I think, really captures this contradiction in this fascinating book, To Serve God and Walmart.
God and money, God and Walmart. Andrew West, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Andrew West, and he'll be presenting the Religion and Ethics Report, which you can hear this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN.